I'd like to read two passages from the Gospel according to John, starting in chapter 21. Gospel according to John, chapter 21, starting from verse 9. When, therefore, they went out on the land, they see a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread. Jesus says to them, "Bring of the fishes which ye have now taken." Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153. And though there were so many, the net was not rent. Jesus says to them, "Come and dine." But none of the disciples dared inquire of him, "Who art thou?" knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus comes and takes the bread and gives it to them, and the fish in like manner. This is already the third time that Jesus had been manifested to the disciples, being risen from among the dead. And in chapter 6, commencing from verse 1, after these things, Jesus went away beyond the Sea of Galilee or of Tiberias, and a great crowd followed him, because they saw the signs which he had wrought upon the sick. And Jesus went up into the mountain, and there sat with his disciples. But the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was near. Jesus then, lifting up his eyes and seeing that a great crowd is coming to him, says to Philip, "When shall we buy loaves that these may eat?" But this he said, trying him, for he knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "Loaves for 200 denarii are not sufficient for them, that each may have some little portion." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, says to him, "There is a little boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But this, what is it for so many?" And Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." Now there was much grass in the place. The men therefore sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and having given thanks, distributed them to those that were set down, and in like manner of the small fishes, as much as they would. And when they had been filled, he says to his disciples, "Gather together the fragments which are over and above, that nothing may be lost." And they gathered them therefore together, and filled 12 hand baskets full of fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which were over and above of those that were eaten. Verse 32. Jesus therefore said to them, "Verily, verily, I say to you, it is not Moses that has given you the bread out of heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world." They said therefore to him, "Lord, ever give to us this bread." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst at any time. But I have said to you that ye have also seen me and do not believe. All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that comes to me I will not at all cast out. For I am come down from heaven, not that I should do my will, but the will of him that has sent me. And this is the will of him that has sent me, that of all those that he has given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up in the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes on him should have life eternal, and I will raise him up at the last day." The Jews therefore murmured about him, because he said, "I am the bread which has come down out of heaven." They said to him, "Is not this the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we have known? How then does he say, 'I am come down out of heaven'?" Jesus therefore answered and said to them, "Murmur not among yourselves. No one can come to me except the Father who has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they shall be all taught of God.' Every one that has heard from the Father himself has learned of him comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is of God. He has seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say to you, he that believes on me has life eternal. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and died. This is the bread that comes down out of heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which has come down out of heaven. If anyone shall have eaten of this bread, he shall live forever. But the bread with all that I shall give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore contended among themselves, saying, How can he give us this flesh to eat? Jesus therefore said to them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, unless you have eaten the flesh of the Son of Man, and drunk his blood, ye have no life in yourselves. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood has life eternal, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is truly food, and my blood is truly drink. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwells in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, I live on account of the Father. He also who eats me shall live also on account of me. This is the bread which has come down out of heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. He that eats this bread shall live forever. What is in mind in reading these passages? The Lord's words in John 21, come and died. Beloved brethren, I find particular joy in that invitation of the Lord Jesus, because I don't think it only is related to whom he was speaking to at the time. I think it is for us today to accept that invitation and to come to him and die. Think of the circumstances that were here. We see that they had gone out off fishing and they had caught nothing. They had got no food. And the Lord appears on the side of on the shore. He comes there. And he comes to his own. He has already seen them fishing and catching nothing. And beloved brethren, he issues this invitation to them. Come and dine. What do we have? Before they were came onto shore, there is that already prepared for them by the Lord himself. And that is what we get in our occasions frequently, or as we come to him. That is what we get. He's already prepared what we need. And his food, beloved brethren, is par excellence. There's nothing better. There's nothing better for you. There's nothing better for me. If you look at the two diets which are given in these two passages I've read, they're both the same. Bread and fish. Both the same. Historically, I know I've read them the wrong way round. But I don't think, beloved brethren, that matters. Because what we get in our first passage is the Lord's invitation. And now it's for each one of us individually, today, now, to respond to it. That invitation is going out to us here, going out to Christians everywhere. Come and dine. It says also that he does the actual, he comes and takes the bread and gives it to you. I think that's very gracious of the Saviour. He comes himself and feeds his own. It says in the psalm, doesn't it? He'll satisfy the needy with bread. And so you get it, particularly in chapter 6, but you get it here. He satisfies the needy with bread. He can satisfy you. He can satisfy me. Tonight, we may be hungry. We may be needing something from himself to be built up. To be built up in relation to himself. And you can only be built up in relation to him, the man in heaven, by coming to him. That's the only way you'll do it. I know of no other way. We might tend to sit down and read the books. Let's be quite honest about it. But, beloved brethren, if you don't come to him, you'll get nothing. You'll get nothing. That's what our brother said in the reading. If you don't come to the person, you get nothing. And so it is in our Christian experience. And that is why I thought we would read these few verses here. And noticing those two factors, the Lord's invitation, and he'd already done the preparation work. They didn't even have to do it. It was already there. There were coals there, fish laid upon it. The fish was ready to be eaten. And the bread was there. We'll say a little bit more about that when we come to chapter 6, what they may mean, because there is a meaning to both. But the Lord had prepared. Like Mephibosheth, isn't it? He was sat around David's table. David says, is there anybody I can show the kindness of God to? And so it is today. Is there anybody we can show the kindness of God to? And we bring them into David's table. And he sat there, and he was there permanently. Whilst David was on the throne. It's a marvelous fact, beloved brethren, that the Lord delights to bring those of his own to sit at his table. Psalm 23 comes to mind. There he gives food. He will cause you to sit down in the pastures. And there is that which is available. But there he would delight to bring us all in, to sit with him at his table, and to feed upon what he gives. We need food for our physical upbuilding, but we need food, beloved brethren, for our spiritual strength. Someone once said that although there was food available in Christendom, not many availed themselves of it. And so it is today. You look around, there's abundance of food. The Lord has abundance in his hand. And he can make much of little. But, beloved brethren, are we availing ourselves what is available? Come and dine. Those are the words of the Lord Jesus today to each Christian. They were called disciples here. They're not apostles in this chapter. They are apostles, I know that. But they are disciples. They're those who are coming to the feet of Jesus to learn how to do things. And I'm sure that Peter and John understood, and the remaining of those 11 disciples, if they were there, knew when they came into Acts that they would show to others how to come to the Lord and to come to him and to die. This coming here, although you can use the gospel preaching in relation to it, because the great invitation in the gospel is to come. I'll say to anyone here tonight, this afternoon, if they haven't come, come now, while there's opportunity. Because opportunity soon will finish. Mercy's doors, thank God, are still wide open. If there's anyone outside them, walk through them tonight. And then you'll know what it is to be able to dine at the Lord's table. What better? What better? And so when we come to, just want to raise one other thing, as Mr. Raven used to frequently say, and one other thing. This was already the third time that Jesus had been manifested to his disciples, having been risen from among the dead. This is a resurrection scene, beloved brethren. I think we need to see that. This is a scene, in that sense, different to the chapter 6, but this is a resurrection scene. The Lord is living, not yet ascended on high. So it goes to prove that he's available to give us food now. Don't have to look outside anyone else. He's able to do it now. And so we come to chapter 6. I'm sorry to read so much. And I'm going to be quite honest with the brethren. I'm not going to explain it. I'm going to be quite honest with the brethren. When I asked to break bread a few years ago, now, I said to my father, some would remember him in this room, I'm sure. I know one or two do. He said, where should I read in the Bible? Help me. He said, Andrew, read John's Gospel. Good advice to any young Christian. Read John's Gospel. But, he said, you may not understand it all. But that is a sure word. And I would advise any young Christian, any older Christian, to read John's Gospel. It is the backbone of Scripture. Without it, Scripture would be not complete. Let us understand that, beloved brethren. It is different to all other writers of the Gospel. It brings the Lord in the glory of his person. That's what John does. He brings the glory of Jesus, or the glory of God, down to here, down to earth. Paul takes us up into heaven. But John, I think, is outstanding in the way that he brings the person of Jesus to our attention. There's no one like John. He was, and remember, And he wrote this at a great age. But it was written by the power of the Spirit of God. Each letter, each word of this gospel is inspired by the Spirit of God. Let us understand that. There's no myth here. It is true and factual. And so it says, after these things, Jesus went away to beyond the Sea of Galilee. The same place as chapter 21. He would impinge upon those disciples in chapter 21 what he had done in chapter 6. Come and dine. He would show to them that this is the way. I want you to move down here amongst your fellow Christians that you know how to feed them. And his great crowd followed him. But he went up into the mountain. He went up into the mountain. It isn't the only time the Lord Jesus went up into the mountain. He went up into the mountain several times. Matthew 5 is another place where he went up into the mountain and sat down with his disciples. It's the place to go, beloved brethren, if you want to know a little about the heavenly truth. Up into the mountain with Jesus. And there you will learn with him. And it's a great thing. I've learned a little bit from my experience to sit at his feet and no one else's, and to learn from him that those things relating to himself. You'll find that there's a vast range of heavenly matters which he can speak to you about concerning himself. It's things concerning himself, beloved brethren, we need to be occupied with. And so here, he went up into the meeting, and there sat down, up the mountain, and he there sat down. He was restful in the circumstances where he was. And I think as we come together, we should be, he is restful, we are restful. And then he can do what he wishes to do in the way he provides food. And then he tests, as we were also mentioned in our reading, then he tests his disciples. He comes, he says to Philip, what are we going to do? There's 5,000 people here, besides the women, Matthew tells us, and besides the children who are with them. There's 5,000 here. And what are we going to do? We can't send them away empty. Beloved brethren, if 5,000 came in to one of our occasions, or we had to take them up a hill to feed them with what was of import, how would we do? How would we do? The Lord is teaching us here how to do it. It might be only a little bit. There's only one. And it's interesting though, because by the by, this miracle appears in every gospel. And is one of the only ones that does. Mr. Darby called it one of the royal miracles. A beautiful expression. One of the royal miracles. Because it appears in all four gospels. And I think, therefore, it is of import for us to take account of. There are certain differences about it, the way it appears. Barley and small are not mentioned in the other three gospels. They're not mentioned. What these loaves and fishes, the character of them, they're not mentioned. Now, I don't want to be taken up just for a word. But, beloved brethren, every word in Scripture, the way it is put, is of import. John uses the word small with import. And he uses the word barley with import. And he is the only one who does so. And John is written for our day. You must remember that. He's written for the days of departure. So John is saying here, it may be sound to be little, but in the hands of Jesus, it can be made great. It can be made great. Any little thing you may have, beloved brother or beloved sister, of any little impression of Christ, it's worthwhile putting it where it belongs. We're all exhorted to trade with what we've got so we make more. The Lord tells us to do that. So we need, beloved brethren, to be active spiritually in trading with one another. And so he says to his disciples, Andrew says, there is a little boy. Not a grown-up boy, a little boy. Think of his mother, probably putting these sandwiches together, these barley loaves. Now barley, I know it's figs of first fruits, but barley in this, we have a ex-baker here, so I have to be very careful what I say. It does not make the best of bread. Wheat does. Wheat makes the best of bread. Only little bit I know about that is because my grandfather was a miller. He was a miller. And he always wanted to use the best of wheaten flour. But the barley, it would be rough. It would be that which a poor person, I speak of poverty as not understanding it too much, because we don't know what poverty is in this country. It would be that which a mother would supply to her child, because that's all she could afford to supply him with. But, and the two small fishes. But bread, what does it speak of? It may be barley bread, but it's bread. Satisfaction. God uses bread to satisfy us. It speaks of the goodness of God. It speaks of the grace of God. It speaks of God being able to strengthen you. That's what we find in Scripture. The bread speaks of His goodness. See that, as we've already quoted, in Psalm 132. You go to Psalm 105, or 104. It speaks of bread strengthening us. And so it is. Divine grace strengthens the Christian. And that's what we get. And it speaks to us the goodness of God. We'll see that later. In the most, what I say is probably the most difficult part of John's Gospel. And two small fishes. Two small fishes. Taken out of the normal circumstances in which they usually are. And fishes in Scripture are usually put on the coal to cook before they're handed out. Dear brethren, we need sometimes to know what it is to go through a time of assessment before the Lord before we can be of use. That is what the bread and the fish go side by side. One balances the other. But it's five loaves, that's the greater, and two small fishes. But they make up a very useful diet. Spiritual diet. Not material diet, a spiritual diet for the Lord to give to you and to me. So that everyone was satisfied. And you notice here, in the three synoptic gospels, he uses the disciples to hand out the food. Here, he does it himself. I think it's lovely. Lovely touch. And that is what John does. He brings the Lord near to you. So you experience his own hand and his own touch. And there's that which is left over. And that's for you and me. Fragments left over. For you and me, beloved brother, beloved sister. Now, I didn't want to be too long. When we come to and I'm not, as I said earlier, going into the detail of the latter part of John's Gospel, because it's beyond me. And I expect most would here say the same. But the Lord uses what he had done to speak about the bread of life coming out of heaven. Coming out of heaven. He says here, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger. Shall never hunger. I am the bread of life. That's having faith in him as he came, as the one who's come down out of heaven. Requires faith as far as you and I are concerned, beloved brother and sister. To take account of him. And if you come to him, you will never hunger. You will never want for anything. Think of the younger son in Luke 15. He hungered. He hungered. Is anybody like that here today? Hunger? Dear Christian, I remember reading one or two bits of Dr. Wolston. It was a lecture. It wasn't a gospel preaching. But he would speak to maybe those who were at the back of the room mocking what he was saying. And beloved brethren, I say tonight, don't do that, because the word of God is true. And if you want to not hunger, you must come to the Lord. It says, he that comes to me shall never hunger. And it uses the word believe. On me shall never thirst at any time. Complete satisfaction, beloved brethren. You'll only find that in coming to Jesus. You won't find it anywhere else. The younger son, what he had, he was hunting for things. And he would want for his stomach with the husks that the swine were eating. And they were only husks. They were empty. And that's all this world can offer you, beloved young Christian, older Christian. That's all this world can offer you or me. Husks. It's empty. But if you come to the one of John 6, the man of John 6, you will get all you need. You will never hunger and you will never thirst forever. Delightful. But it is, you have to have a desire for it. You have to come yourself. I can't come for you. You say, Andrew, that's part of the gospel. Yes, it may be so. But we have to come. If we want to be fed in the end of John 6, we have to come ourselves. But then he speaks of doing the will of the Father. That was what we had in our reading this afternoon. He did the will of the Father. Every step he took, and one of those wills, one of those wishes of the Father was that he would feed us with bread. One of the wishes was that he would give us something to drink. That was the will of his Father. Look at him in John 11. The will of the Father. He didn't go immediately to see Mary and Martha. He didn't go because it was not the will of the Father. He waited. Why? So that God should be glorified in the resurrection of Lazarus. That's why he waited. And that is what you see in John's Gospel. The glory of the glory of God shining in the face of Jesus. And so he also speaks of the last day. Raising those up on the last day. The millennial day. God's day. And it's said four times as if to emphasize it, beloved brother, beloved sister. Our raising up on the last day. Only time in Scripture I think it's said, repeated so many times in so few verses. Our raising up. And it's the same word. And then he says, no one can come to me except the Father who has sent me draw him. I find great comfort in that word. So do those, as our brother was speaking of the gospel preaching. No one comes to Jesus except the Father draws him. Now, let us ponder it for a moment. Those of us who maybe have been on the path a little while, is it to an accepted Jesus that we are drawn? No. It is to a rejected Christ we are drawn. Let us ponder over that. It isn't to an accepted Jesus in this world we are drawn. It is to a rejected Christ we are drawn to. One who has come in such a lowly way. Who went about doing good because God was with him. But yet rejected. Came in alone? Yeah, he came in alone. Surely he did. And every step, as Mr. Darby said, he took down here was alone. No comfort. I looked for comforters. I found none. You think of the loneliness of Jesus during his walk down here, beloved brother, beloved sister. And it should affect our hearts that is a character person to whom we've been drawn. No one comes to me except the Father draws him. And then he speaks, I am the bread of life. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven, that anyone may eat it shall not die. I am the living bread which has come down out of heaven. Which has come down. That involves the glory of the incoming in the incarnation. Historically so. Speaks of what we have had earlier. Also speaks of the way he came in. But those few words beautifully speak to me of the way he came in. Think of the living bread coming down out of heaven. Coming down. And it is, as someone else once said, it is only accepting the verses 53 and 54 that we can really enjoy the one who came down in humiliation. To really enjoy him. To take account of him. We have to know what it is to accept the Lord's death for ourselves before we can really enter in enjoyment into the way Scripture presents him in his humiliation. Because what would it mean to us? Think of Jesus coming in such a lowly way. Got the glory of God seen in him. John doesn't give us the incoming of Jesus as a babe. It says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Wonderful expression, you know. The Word became flesh. That is, the mind of God seen there. But the Word became flesh. That was John's understanding of the Lord Jesus. That what he was everything in relation to the divine center, to the divine mind. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have contemplated his glory. What glory is seen in Jesus, beloved brethren? I wasn't going to... Some would say was, but it's what glory is seen in Jesus. That's what the Spirit of God would engage us with. The man in heaven. But, I say again, we have to appreciate and understand that he came in and although it speaks of living bread, that to me means that at one time he once lay in the dust of death. The article of death. The cross of Christ, beloved brethren, is something which increasingly I feel we need to be more engaged with. It's a great dividing point between me and this world. It's a great door opening into all that God has secured in Christ. The cross of Christ, we need to be engaged with it. I speak for myself. I need to be engaged with it in increasing measure. As we said in the reading, it is the cross of Christ is there in the history of eternity. Remains in the history of eternity. Expression I know of Mr. Darby's, but beloved brethren, it is true. It will always, it's there in God's mind today. Now, as we speak, as it is frequently said today, as we speak, it is there in the mind of God. As being accomplished, what was done. As we said, the Father draws us to a rejected Christ, not an accepted one. Man rejected him, put him on a cross of wood. And that is what men of this world, and this world remains the same, did to my Savior. And would still do if he came. Away with him. Away with him. That is still the attitude of men, women, and men as away from God this afternoon. But I'll raise him up at the last day. But as I come back to eating his flesh and drinking his blood. This is not the supper. Let us understand that. The nearest type to it may be the strong venison before they went over the River Jordan. Maybe. That's the nearest type. But it isn't the true type. But this is not the supper. Let us understand that. This is maybe our appreciation of and our going into death with him. He's gone into death. And beloved brethren, as put in our trust in him, we have gone in with him. And it is as coming out of that, as appreciating that, we appropriate him in that situation. Because what does eating mean? It needs appropriation. We need, beloved brethren, time, I know, to sit down and to understand these scriptures in a fuller and deeper measure. As I say, I can't explain them. But I can only say a little to what I've drawn out of them for myself. And so, then we come to the living bread. He is that now. He is the living bread. And one further thing, and I'll finish. If we eat his flesh and drink his blood, he dwells with us. We dwell with him, and he dwells with us. I think that's lovely. I think that's beautiful. The dwelling, the Lord Jesus coming in, and dwelling with us. And I think, dwells in me and I in him. I think it's beautiful. The Lord Jesus would say that at the end of where he had been received so much opposition and there was yet those who couldn't receive the word and went away. And the Lord says to the 12, will ye also go away? It is a hard word, beloved brethren. It is a very hard word to understand because it takes all of this world away. Every single thing takes it all away. I know we go back into to do our business. Most would point that out to me, but and that is true. But everything of this world, like the Nazarite,
is removed.
If we accept the cross of Christ. A hard word. I find it difficult. Very difficult. But it is the way Scripture presents things. But we come to him so we can get some food. He is the living bread. He has gone through death, and he is a living bread for us now. He will come to us as that. Give us the bread to strengthen us. He would show us all the divine treasuries. Because that's what it tells us in the first and second, third chapter of Ephesians. We've got the divine treasuries. We've got the enjoyment of sonship. He would speak to us of all these things. What it is to be reconciled. The divine blessings. He would show us all these things in the power of the Spirit. May we enter in and enjoy it, beloved brethren, to know what it is to come and die and at his invitation, and to let him feed us himself, because that is what these two passages say. He feeds us himself. But we have to come. May it be so.